So we're on again the matter of the twos and threes. Amen. Actually, our burden is again that we will enter into the practice, that we will all enter into the practice of the twos and threes. Amen. We see in the previous messages on this line that we've kind of found out what is to be in a twos and three, how to pursue the Lord. And then also, how do we begin to have the twos and three times? But now we're entering into what is the content of the twos and threes, and what are some of the activities in the twos and three times, and according to the Word of God. Amen. So this morning we're on the binding and the releasing prayer of the twos and threes. Let's read that together. Amen. The binding and releasing prayer of the twos and threes. Amen. I want to have a show of hand. Who has any experience in praying in twos and threes, the binding and the releasing prayer? A few. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. I think we all need to be brought into the practice. We all need to experience this more. So in our Christian experience, we have two primary type of prayers, prayer life, right? The first kind is a prayer in which we're supplied by the Lord, in which we're just fellowshipping with the Lord, or the sweet communion with Him, the intimacy, the private time with the Lord, where He can touch us, where we can just share anything that's on our heart. That is a very important prayer, very important for our spiritual growth. But there's also another kind of prayer. This kind of prayer not only meets our need, but also meets God's need. This prayer is described as the prayer ministry of the church. And this is related to this morning's message on the binding and the releasing prayers. And this requires us to be with one another. As we sing in the hymn, to be fighting the battle in the body. Amen. Right. So God desires to do a lot on the earth. Right. But He needs some who can stand with Him, to be one with Him, who can cooperate with Him, so He can get what He desires, and He can carry out what He desires on the earth. Amen. And so for this, we need to realize that God has an enemy. Right? God has an enemy that will oppose Him in every corner of the earth. In every situation that you're in, the enemy will oppose if it's God's will. Even we kind of saw in the evening messages that God has a desire on this earth, and He has an economy, and He desires to move and operate. But at the same time, Satan also has an operation. I was appreciating the first night's message. There was a line that says Satan's goal is to corrupt God's creation, cause confusion. Do you realize this is going on? If you look at the world situation, all the violence, all the killing that's going on, right? Satan really desires to kill man. If he can kill man, because Satan knows that man is on the center of God's heart. But if he can't kill man, he will cause a lot of confusion. And you can see that on your campuses. Students go to campuses, maybe they have some Christian faith, but they go to their campuses, they become confused because of the curriculum that is designed to undermine God. And even for new believer who receive the Lord, they can say, oh, now I'm a believer, where do I go? Where's my home? Where is God's church? Now you see, the Christianity is so divided. Where is my home? There's a lot of confusion. Where do I go to meet? A lot of confusion. Satan is very good at that, right? But more importantly, actually, Satan works in man's heart. And there's a verse I like to read in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, "In whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers with the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them." Do you realize the reason why some of your friends, you have a burden for them, you preach the gospel to them, but they do not receive? Or sometimes we know some believers who have drifted away from the Lord. Satan is very good at putting the darkness within man's heart that prevents them to see God. And even if maybe they see God, they receive God, Satan still continues to put the darkness in them so that they do not see God's purpose. So they cannot be used by God. Right. So what do we need to do? How do we fight against the enemy? God needs some to stand, to fight with him and for him. And the way to fight, we see in this message, you probably realize, is the praying, the binding, and the releasing prayers. I'd like to bring up another verse. This is in our Impress You with the Word of God. That's in Ephesians 6. This is on our memorization sheet. Ephesians 6 is all about the spiritual warfare. In verse 12, it says, "For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies." So don't go to your campus and try to pick a fight with your professors. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. That's not going to work. But we need to have a vision. We need to see God has an enemy. There is spiritual, do you realize there are spiritual forces of evil in the air that is preventing those ones to see God? So that's why we need to pray. The way in the New Testament, if we continue in these verses in Ephesians 6, it talks about we need to put on the armor of God. Amen. And then we need to have the sword of the Spirit. This is our weapon. And what is that? In verse 18, that is, how do we put on the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit? Is by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance, and petition concerning all the saints. So concerning all the saints, everyone, even on the unbelievers, as we mentioned in the previous verse. This is a way to fight the battle. We need to pray. We need to pray, brothers and sisters. Amen. But what is the power of our prayer comes from the twos and the threes. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Amen. Of the twos and three is the binding and the releasing prayer. Amen. Let's read that again with a strong spirit. Twos and threes is the binding and releasing prayer. Amen. So the reference here is based on Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we see there's a sinning brother. Maybe you know some, or maybe a backsliding brother. Maybe you grew up in the church life with. This one, the Lord says that you may go to him directly to admonish him, to bring him back into the fellowship. But if he does not listen to you, you can take two or three with you, and the two and three will be a witness to him to establish him back. If he does not listen to you again, then you tell it to the church. And if he refuses to the church, it says in verse 17 of Matthew 18, says, "Let him be to you just like the Gentile and the tax collector." So if we end here, we may have a sense, okay, if we have a brother who is backsliding, we admonish him, we come to him, he's not coming back to the fellowship, okay, then we just forget about him. He's just like an unbeliever to us. We don't worry about him anymore. But that's altogether not on God's heart. The previous verse said God's heart will be aching if even one sheep out of 100 is led astray. So the Lord speaks again, continues in verse 18 through 20. I'll read these verses. It says, the Lord says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven." This is the prayer we're talking about. Actually, the binding is the binding of the enemy. The reason why this brother is not returning to the fellowship, because Satan has bound him. Right. He has no way to be released. Right. And the releasing is the releasing of this brother. So this is a kind of prayer with that has power. But where does the power come from? In verse 19. Again, truly I say to you, that if two of you are in harmony, on the earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. Amen. So this is a two in harmony. And then it says in verse 20, for where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So when we come together in twos or threes, I hope you saints have this burden. When you go back, you should pray. Or even now, you should pray. Lord, give me a two. Give me a three. Give me a companion that someone can pray with. Maybe for our friends, for our family, for our classmates, for the brothers and sisters that's not no longer meeting with us. Right. Let's read A, B, and then 1 and 2 together. Amen. 2 or 3 in Matthew 18:20 are gathered by the Lord into the Lord's name for his purpose, not into their name for their purposes. Amen. B. Okay, start. In the prayer in Matthew 18, there must be at least two persons. One, the principle of two is a principle of the church, the principle of the body of Christ. Two, the prayer in harmony of two or three persons is so powerful because wherever they are gathered together into the Lord's name, the Lord is there. This is the reason for their harmony. Amen. Yeah, it's very good to pray this kind of prayer by ourselves. But where the power comes from is in the two and the threes. Two and the threes. The Lord, when he sent out his disciples for the gospel, he sent them out by two by two. And we see all the examples in Acts when, especially Paul the Apostle went out, he went out with another. Right? And I was impressed by this matter of harmony. It's not only just the two of us coming together, and when we pray, this will be, and the Lord will answer everything. But in this verse, it says, when two of you are in harmony. And this word harmony doesn't mean just that you agree in opinion. Right? If the requirement is only that we agree in opinion, me and our brother, we can agree, we like a big house. We'll pray, we'll get a big house. No. But actually, this verse, if you read it carefully, it says, that you are in harmony on the earth concerning any matter. Concerning any matter, you are in harmony. This shows these two are in utter oneness. They're in utter oneness with the Lord. So when we come together in this kind of way to pray, we need to pray ourselves into God. Because God is a source of oneness, as we see last night, right? So when we pray ourselves into God, we just want to come to the triune God. Then the Lord is there. As in verse 20, it says that when we gather in his name, here he is in our midst. Then when he is there, we're in harmony. We are in oneness, total oneness with the Lord Jesus. Whatever we pray, the Lord will answer. Amen. Amen. And this matter of harmony, you can think of like music. Harmony is music. So you can have two saints singing together, and they're singing in harmony. But to be in harmony, actually, the two are not singing the same tune, right? But they work together very well. So you may have two brothers or two sisters. You come together. You may be completely different because maybe your background, even maybe your function in the church life, your function in the body, your gift is different. But when you're in harmony with one another, they just come together in such a perfect way. And that's music to God's heart. Amen. Amen. Let's read C together. It's strong spirit. Two or threes, we have to bind the binding one, Satan, and we have to release the sinning one, the one bound by Satan. through our prayer in harmony. Amen. Let's read one. God's principle of work and the key to his move is that God cannot do what he wants to do unless man wants it. Amen. Two, the prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do, and the church praying on earth what God wants to do. Amen. So it looks like we actually echo back to the Lord what's on his heart. It is not our prayer, but the Lord burdens us. And this principle is talking about in one is actually the principle of incarnation. Some Christians may say, oh, we don't need to pray because God is almighty. He will do whatever he wants. That is true. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. But he actually limited himself on the earth that he would not do anything just by himself. He wants someone that can be one with him, that can have the same heart as him, so cooperate with him so that he can gain his heart's desire. Amen. So we have a student that will be a pop-up for us. Jacob can come up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
What do I do? Just hold it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I just kind of wanted to share my experience living in the brother's house and kind of entering into this kind of prayer. So after coming in, there was two other brothers about my age, and so we would pray together for like different students and saints like on our hearts, and we started to learn have good prayer like that. But we were helped a little bit when a sister gave us this list of all of her contacts, like her students, saints. She wrote all these details about them. And so I still remember in the car one day, we just started praying specifically for them. And there was just like a power in the prayer. And I didn't really know what it was at the time, but I'm starting to see that actually what we were doing is we were binding the enemy. Amen. And releasing these ones for the Lord's purpose. So I guess an example, we met a student on campus who got saved, and he was coming along, but he wanted to get baptized. But there were some struggles within him, and actually he was going to get baptized two different times, and like here comes a Facebook message from his family, like, dude, don't do that, or like, boom, phone call, like both times was like that, and it's just like, wow, there's stuff going on, we just don't see, and so we the three of us and two of us, at different times we pray for him that he'd be released to be baptized. It's amazing that eventually it just happened. Like we're just driving and just said, okay, I'll get baptized. Amen. He just went in a glorious baptism. The Lord freed him, released him. Eventually, though, a brother moved out, went to the training, praise the Lord. But I was with this one brother, and it just kind of happened every couple of weeks, we would have this kind of prayer. It wasn't regular at the time, but do we just, like, go in each other's room, like, after work or whatever, and just start praying. We fellowship a bit. Then we just start entering into this kind of prayer. Amen. And, there's such a power. Amen. Praise the Lord with when two are in harmony together. Amen. There's a real power. You just sense like, wow, the Lord's hand has just moved. And hallelujah. Amen. For this kind of prayer. It just spontaneously, by living together, actually that gave us an opportunity to always have access to the other. And so we would frequently go into each other's room, and we have an intimate fellowship. And out of this intimate fellowship came very specific prayers to release these certain ones who we knew. needed to be released and go on from wherever they were to wherever the Lord was going next. Because we know the Lord's salvation is so great. He can save to the uttermost. So praise the Lord. I'll just give one more testimony of someone who was on our heart, who we were praying for. He was new. He was enjoying the Lord, enjoying the church life. And he was concerned for his parents, though, because his parents held very strongly to infant baptism, and he wanted to be baptized. He was very concerned, though, what their reaction was going to be. So I just remember, you know, us just coming and praying in just a very strong way. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Release our brother. Amen. Lord, release our brother. Cover the situation. Hallelujah. Actually, everything worked out. He eventually did get baptized, and his parents came, and his friends came. And, there's some guy walking by the meeting hall, and he just spontaneously came in and was like, I'm going to get baptized too. And so he was, he joined them, and even though the parents were, like, still not supportive of their son, you know, being baptized again, since he was baptized as a baby, they were touched, because they're like, look at this guy who just got baptized. Like, I'm touched by that. And so the whole situation was covered. And the Lord's testimony went out. So, amen. Amen for this kind of prayer. Amen.
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 Such an encouraging testimony.
Amen.
So we can all enter it into it. Amen. Okay, let's read D all together with 1, 2, 3. These are some practical points of how we can practice this kind of prayer life. We can just read it together. Amen. D. The prayer and two or threes recovers and gains a sinning brother. 1. We should not give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayer, touching heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. 2. When we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There is no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, expound the scripture to the Lord. Through resting one spirit with Christ for the sinning brother, we can become the means, the channel through which Amen. I'll just make a short note, and then I'll give it to Brother Jason. This matter of we should not give up on anyone. The enemy may be may seem fierce in our lives. We may have family members who maybe oppose God or oppose the church life. We may have friends who we love, who we burden for, but their heart is hard. Or we may have brothers or sisters that we grew up with, but now are not meeting. I encourage you all to not to give up. Amen. Just to pray.
Amen.
We may not be able to say anything to them to bring them to the salvation or bring them back to the Lord, to the fellowship, but we can all pray. The children of Israel, before they entered into the good land, they spied out the good land. They saw all their enemies there. And the children of Israel said, oh, there are giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers. We should have just died in Egypt. But there's two overcomers who are companions. There's Joshua and Caleb. They stood against the rest of the people, and they said, Jehovah is with us. Do not fear, for the people of the land are our bread. So the enemy is our bread. It's our food. We can pray to bind the enemy and release what he has taken captive. Amen.
Wasn't that an encouraging word?
Amen.
Encouraging pop-up?
Yeah.
Wow. Amen.
Testimonies move the feet, right? Amen. Well, I would like to just kind of continue our Brother Z's burden. It's so helpful. So good to see this matter. We've had such good fellowship this week on the matter of the twos and threes, beginning the twos and threes. And as Brother Z was sharing with us, we do need to see a key component of practicing the twos and threes. And that is entering into the binding and loosing prayer. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to come together. It's so encouraging to come together at twos and threes to pursue the Lord, to open to one another, to care for one another. But we also have to see, and we also have to consider, that God has a need. On one hand, when we're coming together and caring for one another, which I would say really results in a growth spurt in your Christian life. To come together in this way, if you really want to grow, get grouped in twos or threes. Amen. It will help you grow. Amen. But we need to consider in these twos and threes that God has a need. A lot of times we come together, but the arrow just points this way. To our situation, our concerns, our future, how we're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we need to have a little bit of a turn and an exercise to realize the arrow needs to turn this way. For God's purpose, God's need on the earth. You know, God has a desire, and that desire is to have a group of people who are expressing Him and who are representing Him on the earth today. This is God's desire. This is why we're here. This is why we were saved. This is why God redeemed us, brought us on, brought us into the church life for this reason. But if there's no prayer, nothing happens. That doesn't happen. He will not have a group of people who express Him or represent Him on the earth without our prayer. How did you become a Christian? Andrew, did you just, someone said something to you and, you know, that's a good idea. I want to believe that. I am now a Christian. Who said that? Pray! Exactly. Nothing happens without our prayer. Right? We can't stress this enough. Yes. Nothing happens without our prayer. Right. So no one became a Christian on their own. Someone was praying for you, Aaron. Someone's were praying for you. I am here, Roman, because someone prayed for me. I know exactly who it was. I'm sure there are others along the way, no doubt about it. But I know one particular brother who was a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. And it wasn't good enough just to be a nominal Christian. He realized here is a person who needs God. And you know what he did? He got together with some other young believers and they prayed for me. And I got dynamically saved. And now I'm here. I'm here. Because we never know. We never know those who we pray for what will happen. We pray for them just to get saved. But God has a higher purpose. God has a desire. God has a calling for each one. So we have to be faithful to come together. And not only, we need this, no doubt about it. I need it. To come together and care for one another, bear one another, help us on our way to live the Christian life. But don't just keep the arrow pointing this way. Keep the arrow pointing out here to meet God's need. God's desire is to have building material. And the building material are men Men are the building material for His house. Amen. Right? So God needs us to come together to pray binding prayers, to bind the strong man, Satan, so that his possessions can be plundered, to become building material, to build up the body of Christ, right? To be His bride, to bring Him back. So what do we need to do, saints? Well, we first of all need to pray ourselves into God and be open to God. Let God have the first place in our hearts, and then let Him impress upon us those who we find that we are burdened for. Our classmates, our friends, our relatives, ones that we meet on the gospel tomorrow, ones that you meet on the gospel when you return home, or some divine appointment that has been arranged from the heavens. Right? For these ones, we need to pray that the darkness of unbelief would be defeated. Amen. Right? It would be subdued by the prayer. It won't be subdued in any other way. Only through the prayer. It will subdue the darkness. It will subdue the power of darkness. The darkness of unbelief. Amen. Right? Some need to be prayed for to make progress in just seeing the vision. Right. Having a fresh revelation. It requires prayer. Right? To make any progress at all requires prayer. Amen. So we need to be those who are coming together with our companions to bear up these ones, to help others besides ourselves make progress for God's purpose. Amen. Right? Right now, I think it'd be a good time to have a pop-up with our brother Demise and our brother CJ.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so my name's Demise. This is my companion TJ. And we've been laboring on the campus for the almost 2 years or a year and 12 months. Y'all can say amen. At UNT in Denton. And then these past couple semesters, we've been getting into really bearing each other's burdens and really praying for each other's burdens. You know, this thing about prayer is that it takes time and it takes the Lord's teaching, you know, because in our experience, we don't ever want to pray for something that's not on the Lord's heart. Right. So before we pray, we always want to, you know, touch the Lord, you know, by praying and going into the word. But praise the Lord.
One of the persons that we prayed for is one of my friends, and for the past year I've been trying to get him to receive Christ in his life. I actually preached the gospel to him, just talked to him a lot about the Lord, but I realized that I wasn't praying for him. Since me and Demise started this school year praying for other people, he actually entered into this prayer to bind the enemy over this brother, because this brother had he believes a lot into science, and he's been through a lot in his life, and he believes that the reason why he's able to get through it was because of science, and he's a biochem major. And so it really, like, just everything he talked about is science. Everything that he I actually talked to him once. I said, Eddie, you want to receive the Lord? And he said, I don't think I want to receive the Lord right now, because to receive the Lord, I would have to give up science. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that this was really a stronghold that this brother had. And he was really blinded by the enemy and believed that science was what helped him get through the problems that he got through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So eventually, Brother TJ talked to Chris Moore, and that's his name. And praise the Lord. And And, you know, and he said Chris actually changed his major because Chris said, you know, I don't feel like science is very, you know, fantastic anymore. And we was like, bro, you love science. Well, you know, what happened? You know, you and Bill Nye was kicking it. You know what I'm saying? But he was all like, yeah, I'm changing my major to psychology. And we was like, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, thank you, Lord, you know. And that was just a slow process that the Lord was working in through our prayers, you know. And not only did the Lord loose him out of the stronghold of science, but he loosed him into the brothers, you know. Through some circumstances, Chris actually had a class with one of the serving ones. So, you know, some life was being dispensing to this person. And then one day, you know, he had to get to work, but he was having some car issues. So usually TJ would give him a ride, but TJ couldn't. So he called me. And at this time, I didn't know Chris. So, you know, I was like, I don't know, man, I don't know. But, you know, I was desperate for the Lord to work in Chris. So, you know, I gave him a ride, and that was a way for Chris to get used to being with some of the brothers, just three brothers. You know, the Lord could really work in that. And in that time, you know, we all just dispensed life into him. And he, through our prayers, not only did he lose him to be, you know, open to the brothers, but he actually loosed him into the home meetings. You know, Chris would not only come to one, but two, three, or four home meetings because he really enjoyed it. I don't know what he enjoyed about the home meeting, maybe the free food, but praise the Lord that he was there, you know. And, yeah, so praise the Lord for his loosing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Very much.
I just want to say,
Amen.
I just want to say one more thing about the that the brother mentioned about being in harmony. So this matter of being in harmony, I believe, is really important because we can easily pray for one another's burdens, and it's easy to say, okay, I'm just going to pray for this person just because this person wants me to pray for them. Mm-hmm. But it's the difference between praying for a person and actually bearing another person's burden.
Amen.
You know, we have to bear each other's burden.
Amen.
We need to become desperate for one another's burdens.
Amen.
Amen. Very good, brother. Thank you.
Amen. That's terrific. It's very helpful. Okay. Amen. So as we can see, there's no doubt God wants to do a lot. God has this brother on his heart, this person on his heart, this neighbor on his heart. But until he gets the cooperation that he's looking for, God can't do it. God won't do it. He will not do it until he gets the prayer that he's after from us. You know, I was considering the book of Acts, and just the title itself, Acts, means there's a lot of activities going on. There are a lot of things being accomplished, right? Thousands of believers are being saved, being added to the church. The testimony of the Lord is spreading from city to city, from country to country. All these things are happening. The divine appointments of Philip, walking along, hearing an Ethiopian eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. These things don't happen by accident, right? Do you understand what you're reading? Well, of course not. How could I? Unless somebody guides me. But here's Philip, ready to lead this person into the triune God and to be baptized, right? But where does all this begin? The book of Acts does not begin with people running around and doing things. The book of Acts begins in chapter 1 with 120 brothers coming together for 10 minutes. 10 days. They came together for 10 days to pray specifically and purposefully.
Right. Amen.
It's good to be very specific in our prayer for God's interest. If you pray generally, you might get some general answers, vague, vaporizing. But if you pray specifically,
You're giving God a lot of track to work, a lot of track to move, to do, to carry out, not only what's on your heart, but what's on His heart, Myrna. Amen. Hallelujah. So I love this footnote in Acts 1, 14, footnote 3, the second paragraph. It says, God wanted to pour out His economy for the carrying out of His New Testament economy and had promised to do it. Yet He still needed His chosen people to pray for this. As God in heaven, He needs men on earth to cooperate with Him for the carrying out of His plan. The 120 disciples praying for 10 days met this need of God's. It was a need of God. Amen. Can you believe it, brothers?
Amen.
Brother, you can meet the need of God.
Amen.
You and your companions.
Amen.
I want to impress that upon you. Your life is full of worth.
Amen.
Not just because you're a believer. Not because you're a good guy. But because you can meet the need of God.
Amen.
You can participate in that.
Amen.
That is awesome. There's nothing higher in the universe than to participate in meeting the need of God.
Amen.
This is the power of the twos or threes. All right. How much time do I have here? Okay. Let's come to the outline. Roman numeral 2. Let's read that together. We need to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week
for the prayer.
Three companions. That's right. It's a very practical point. We need to budget our time. It's good to budget your money, and it's good to budget your time. An older brother, a wise brother, mature brother named Andrew Yu, I heard him share this one time. He said, if you don't get practical with your time or your money, you'll never be practical with anything. It's very true. We need to budget our time.
Amen.
If you don't budget, that means you're leaving things to chance. And the more you leave things to chance, there's a high probability that it just won't happen. But how much so, Brother Z helped us to see, how much more so do we need to budget our time for prayer? Because there are opposing forces in the air who are doing everything they can to prevent you and your companion from coming together to pray. So we have to persevere. We have to stand fast. Stand against the enemy's tactics. Yes, it's practical. Some things in the Christian life are very practical. Because if they're not, they won't happen. So we shouldn't trust ourselves so much. I'll remember. Oh, don't worry. Let's just do it sometime next week. I got nothing going on. You'll be the busiest person in the world all of a sudden when it's time to pray. Things will just pop up. You'll forget. It happens every time I set aside time to pray with somebody. But thankfully, it was budgeted. And so we just have to persevere.
Amen.
And keep the time.
Amen.
Because God's need depends on it.
Amen.
Right? Nothing happens without prayer.
Amen.
Nothing happens. Let's read A together. We need to review all of our acquaintances and make a list of them, including our relatives, neighbors, friends, schoolmates, and colleagues. 1. Then we need to pray over the nameless and seek the Lord's leading concerning who should be first for us to take care of. 2. We should also keep ourselves open to the Lord for His new leading to visit new people than our acquaintances. Brothers, it's just extremely healthy to practice being in the gospel.
Amen.
It's really, you will be a healthy believer. Amen. Having a regular time, once a week, once every 2 weeks, in the gospel. You learn so many lessons of how to pray. Of how to pray with another person. Because you're desperate. Other times you pray, you might not be as desperate. But when you're about to talk to another human being about God, you become desperate. And you begin to learn how to trust in the anointing because you prayed. You learn to pray binding and releasing prayers. You learn to trust in the Lord and depend on Him to speak something of God into another human being. I just encourage you. You'll hear more about this tomorrow on Priming the Pump, my brother. That in the twos and threes, we need to practice to pray and to go out in the gospel. Amen. To contact new acquaintances. Let's read B together. This is a very important point. We must be watchful to fight for time to pray and to be on guard against Satan's strategy to cut off our prayers. Wow. Yes, as our brother helped us to see earlier, there's a real strategy going on 24/7. They never close, never go on vacation, looking for ways to stop you from doing what we're fellowshipping about this morning, right? Ephesians 6:18, which is a bold verse in your verse sheet, says, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching, we must watch, brothers, unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. We're making petition. That means we're praying in a very particular way for the people who God has put on our heart. Right? Okay, how about one? Let's read this together. Among God's children,
prayer is the one thing that is most easily attacked.
That's right. Daniel chapter 6, verse 7 says, all the chief ministers of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have taken counsel together that the king should establish a statute and make firm an edict that anyone who makes a petition within the next 30 days to any god or man besides you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. Do you think it was initiated by these people? That it was just something in them that just wanted to be against Daniel? No. There's a power. There's a darkness. There are principalities in the air operating in mankind to stop God's chosen ones from meeting His need. I appreciate this footnote in verse 7. It says, the center of this chapter is man's prayer for the carrying out of God's economy. Through his faithful channels of prayer, brothers, give yourselves to be a faithful channel of prayer. God carries out His economy with His elect for Christ's coming. God desires to carry out His economy, but man is needed to pray for His economy on earth. Satan's strategy is to frustrate the prayer that is for God's move. Right? Then the mention of the chief ministers and the satraps was to destroy Daniel. But the intention of Satan, who was behind them, was to cut off the channel of prayer that God was using for the carrying out of His economy. It's very striking. The enemy, you might not value yourself that much. You might not value your prayer time that much. But Satan is frightened of it. And Satan is working to make you believe it's to no avail. It's of no use. My prayer, who cares how I pray? I don't even know how to pray. That's the enemy. That's the enemy working behind the scenes to keep you from praying. Don't analyze. Come together. Touch the Lord. Let the Lord flow out in your prayer. Release man as building material to build the house of God to bring him back. Okay, lastly, two. Let's read this together.
If you place a high value on your prayer life, you will watch unto it and arrange time for it. No matter how busy you may be, you will still have time to pray.
Amen. Value, brothers. Where's your value system? Consecrate to the Lord. Offer yourself to the Lord. Amen. Consider your value system. Where does prayer with your companion rank on your value system regarding your time? Practically speaking, we can all say, well, I'll find time. But sit down. Sit down and work out your prayer time with your vital companions. Right? There's a wonderful verse in 6:10, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house. In his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And three times daily, he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God because he had always done so previously. Footnote. Daniel had read Jeremiah's prophecy that the children of Israel would serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Standing on this word, he must have prayed many times for the fulfillment of this prophecy and for the return of the captives. He would not let anything stop or frustrate his prayer. He knew that his prayer was for the carrying out of God's economy concerning his elect. Therefore, his prayer was a serious matter. It was a serious matter, which means it wasn't flippant. It wasn't goofing around. It wasn't doing it to say we did it. It was specific and it was purposeful.
Amen.
Right? So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can be those who join you to meet your need.
Amen.
Join ourselves in prayer.
Amen.
To bind what needs to be bound and release what needs to be released.
Amen.
So that your purpose can be carried out.
Amen.
And that you can have your heart's desire.
Amen.
And we can be those in participating in you getting it.
Amen.
Amen. I love the last stanza of the hymn we sing. Bind and loose. God's will fulfilling. And the foes your food will be.
Amen.
Amen.